Hey, folks, this is the Context Machine. Welcome to it. This is episode 665. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey,
one more, man. One more. One more.
Close. We're like right next door.
Yes, right next door.
We'll be throwing goals. I was saying website contextmachine.io.
Right. You can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine. Has anyone commented to us there recently?
Brian, I'm actually not sure because, I had to go on my whole social media and news blackout thing. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure, we can talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. But before we do, I want to say we have a sponsor today, and it's LinkedIn Jobs.
Yes, we do have a sponsor. We're going to tell you about them later in the show and tell us why you had to essentially be on a social media blackout.
Yeah, it was social media and news in general, and it's because I got a jury summons. Mm. And I mean, those of us in the United States that have had jury summons, we know how it usually goes. You get your summons, you show up, and either get dismissed right away because whatever trial that you were supposed to be on or could have been on, it's been continued or dismissed or whatever. Or maybe you get called. But either way, you're probably gone before lunchtime. And worst case scenario, you spend a day and do one trial and you're gone.
Right.
Oh, no. Not this time. I mean, I showed up and I was packed in a room with at least 100 other people. Mm. A lot, you know, so more than I'm used to seeing for the other times that I've had jury duty. And before we even get started with anything, a judge walks in and I'm like, oh, this isn't right. This isn't how this works. And then we were all immediately put under a court order that we couldn't expose ourselves to any news that would relate to what turns out to be the case we were all there for. There was a mass shooting in Boulder, March 22nd, 2021 at a King Soopers. And it was a pretty ugly event.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Yeah. That's the trial I got a jury summons for. And
I'm assuming that you did not get selected.
We are here right now, so I did not get selected. Mm. But I was there in the selection pool all the way up until the judge said, and here are the 12 jurors, but it's actually 16 because you have 12 plus four alternates.
Yeah.
But they don't know if they're a juror or an alternate, so that they all sit through the trial the same. And
I did not know the alternates did not know that they were alternates. I had no idea.
No, and neither do they.
I'm a fairly civil-minded. I feel like I know my stuff, and I didn't know this.
It's possible that in other states that alternates know they're alternates, but in Colorado, no,
I've never gotten that far in a jury trial, so. This is just me. It's a me problem.
So, but we just fixed that me problem. So yeah, go great. Us.
Yay me.
Yeah. Anyhow, so I was there all the way up until the judge read off the numbers, because once you're in the system for that, you become a number. Mm-hmm. So that there's some anonymity into the identities of the people on the jury, even though they're all sitting there in the room.
Right.
So, and they do other things to, like when the trial's actually happening, there's cameras in the courtroom, everything's being recorded, no cameras face to the jury box. So anyhow, that was multiple days of my life, and I took the court order very seriously. And the only way for me to be sure that I wasn't going to expose to any kind of news surrounding that case was to cold turkey immediately, no social media, no news at all. And now that I'm back where I can actually do that stuff, because I was dismissed before the trial really started. I have not been good about getting on social media, or maybe I have been good because I'm not really getting on social media very much right now. Anyhow, long-winded way of saying I should probably go check our Mastodon account and see what people are saying there.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
you should. Well, I'm I do believe in doing jury duty, obviously. Thank you for doing your civil duty. I kind of like, if I was going to be tried for something, I would want you on my jury, not because you're going to go easy on me, but because I actually know that you're going to be fair.
That's a really nice compliment. Thank you.
Well, certainly. And so anyway, it's a shame that they don't get, that they being your community doesn't get you your jury service for this particular trial, because I'm sure that it's going to be a humdinger of an event.
Yeah, it's going to run through September. And, you know, Brian, here's another thing about the whole process. When you're the defendant, you have a right to be there for the entire, trial process, which includes jury selection.
Right. So, or you have to be there. You have the right to be there, or you have to be there.
That's a really good question. You certainly have the right, but I don't know if you're required to be there. Regardless, the defendant in this case, Mr. Alyssa, he was there. And I've experienced a lot of weird and uncomfortable things in my life. Just, you know, I've lived long enough to have a lot of life experiences. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, sitting there less than 20 feet away from someone who, and they're not even contesting this part of it. So when I say someone who killed 10 people, I'm not speculating that was a given. And even the defense was like, and Mr. Alyssa killed these 10 people. Mm. And attempted to kill about 40 more. And anyhow, so when you sit there like 20 feet away from someone like that, where they can make direct eye contact with you, and he did, that's actually disturbing.
Yeah, I can't imagine, actually.
And yeah, I was not expecting that part of the experience to be disturbing in the way that it was.
Fair enough. So I was saying that I'm sorry that your community doesn't get to experience your service for this particular job, because again, I think you would have been an excellent jury member, but I'm also glad that you don't have to sit through that. On a personal level.
I appreciate what you're saying. I think it would have been a fascinating experience to be on that jury. But at the same time, I'm kind of glad I'm not on it as well, because I know what the jury is going to be exposed to. And, sure. and I think a lot of people just don't, they don't get that when you're seeing evidence in a case like this, it's not like when we watch TV shows and movies and you see stuff where, you know, where people are being shot at or shot, or it's different when you see the real thing. Sure. And they're going to be seeing a lot of evidence for that. And I feel for those people because that's a disturbing thing that they're going to have to sit through. And I mean, seriously, as we were sitting there and we were getting close to the end, and I'm like, this is getting closer and closer to a real likelihood that I'm going to be on the jury, I started thinking about what happens afterwards. And I was thinking about what sort of resources are out there for just therapy, even for people that have to experience something like that so right. that it doesn't mess them up.
Right. All right. Well, now that we've messed up our listeners.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. Well, lucky for you, I didn't end up on the jury in the end. And so you have normal messed up Jeff, not post-trial messed up Jeff.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah. Well, I would love to whine about how my courier delivered product from Apple didn't arrive, but we actually have a lot to talk about.
Oh, I just assumed that we got through the whole jury thing because that's what you're interested in. And now we're going to talk about your courier because that's about you.
Well, yeah, reverse those orders. But
whatever. I mean, reverse, we can do something orders. Else,
I'm,
whatever.
I'm going to sacrifice and say that we should probably get on to to yesterday's glow time event.
Oh, Brian. Hmm? I had the first time it was an accident, and then after that it was just too good to not continue doing. But I called it the glow job event on some show.
Wow.
And it just kind of stuck.
What show would that be? Name names.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was on Mac Voices Live.
I'm sure Chuck loved it.
Oh, Chuck always loves stuff like that.
anyway, yeah. Right. Glow job. The glow job product event. So this is the one where Apple introduced iPhone and iPhone 16 and 16 Plus and 16 Pro and 16 Pro Max. Mm-hmm. And we got a new Apple Watch and we got sort of new AirPods. And
well, no, we did get new AirPods.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with Apple Watch 10.
Okay.
So this is the entry levels and the stainless steel level Apple Watches got updated, and I think they're really cool.
I think they're really cool too. And I like what Apple's doing with the new features. I like that Apple is continuing to lean in to our health matters. Mm-hmm. And putting features like that forward. For example, we now in the Apple Watch Series 10, there's a sleep apnea tracker thing. And
yes.
just to be clear, it's not like this is what you're using nightly to see what sort of apnea incident you might be having. This is something that aggregates data over a few weeks and then reports back to you saying, hey, you might want to talk to your doctor about this.
Yeah, and I'm a perfect case study for this because I probably, so after my stroke, which was 14 months ago now, 14 months ago now, They told me when I was in the hospital that I had sleep apnea, and I feel I feel like as I have lost 82 pounds that my sleep apnea has gone away, but I haven't gone and found out because that way I don't have to deal with it. And this is tailor-made for me.
It is, and holy crap, Brian, how have you not talked to your doctor about this yet? I'm publicly chastising you right now.
Yeah, fair enough.
Apnea can lead to strokes and heart attacks. Just saying.
Yep. Fair enough. And anyway, so I was really looking forward to that announcement, and also not looking forward to having to buy a new Ultra to get it. And not only is there not a new Ultra, but it's coming to Apple Watch 9s via software update.
Yep, 9 and 10. Yeah. 9 and 10,
right.
And that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And I really like the that new face that they were showing that uses
on the titanium.
That uses the new funky the display to essentially let it change according to your angle.
Yeah,
I really like that. Yeah. I wouldn't use it because I'm addicted to all the information that I get with the Infograph. Watch faces, but it's really cool, and you can see it. You can see it. We'll have a link to the press release in the show notes, Jeff. I'm sending that to you now. And
yes, we will have a link.
This is it's like 5 or 6, 7, 8 images down, but they've got an Apple Watch 10. Animation there that shows you this effect. That's really cool. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out. And I'll be interested to see how else that shows up in other features as we go. This ability to have stuff change according to your angle. To have what you're seeing change according to the angle that you're looking at it. That should be a good and interesting thing to come to Apple Watch.
Yep, I agree. And it makes sense for it to be on Apple Watch because that's the device that you're wearing all the time.
Mm-hmm. I don't really remember any other standout features. I do remember being very impressed as we were going with through the Apple Watch 10 announcement.
Yeah, I thought it was is a really nice refresh to the Apple Watch line. Another thing that I was pleasantly surprised by, just because of the rumors that were happening, Apple did not in fact change how watch bands attach. So all the watch bands you currently have still work.
Mm, right. That is useful. I feel like they had major corporate cojones to introduce the Apple Watch Ultra 2 because it's not new and it didn't I mean, like, I feel like it should have been okay, what they announced was that there's a new black finish for the Ultra 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the black finish is cool. I probably would have gotten it myself if it had been available last year. But I feel like that should have been announced in a press release a day or two before this announcement, and that it should have been included in a recap of the Apple Watch 10 instead of having time dedicated to it. That felt really weird and cheap.
Well,
because they ran through features like they're new and they're not new. So what? I don't know. I don't think it was necessary.
I get what you're saying. At the same time, I'm thinking it kind of was necessary. I mean, they needed to talk about the Apple Watch Ultra in some way at some point during the event.
No, they didn't. They did not. They did not. Other than saying,
who's this event for?
Press and new people.
New people. And these events are infomercials.
Okay.
So they needed to talk about Apple Watch Ultra 2 in some way. I agree. They didn't need, I think, to go as long as they did.
They didn't talk about Apple Watch SE because they didn't need to. I don't think they needed to talk about the Ultra at all, except for, again, to mention it in the recap, to say that these features are coming to the Apple Watch Ultra 2, which is available in black. I accept your apology.
That would have been fine.
I accept your apology.
That would have been fine. But they still needed to talk about it in some way.
No, they didn't. They did not need to talk about the Ultra 2 in this event. It's not new. It's not new.
Why did they talk about AirPods Pro 2?
Because there is a new feature coming to it.
AirPods Pro 2 as if it was a brand new product, and they went on and on about AirPods Pro 2.
Well, I actually agree with you because I was
and
actually...
And then they went on about AirPods Max.
I was
as if that was a new product.
I agree with that too. So again, I accept your apology because you're saying that they shouldn't have done the AirPods stuff, but that they should have done the Apple Watch Ultra. That's
cuckoo bananas. That's not what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm saying that's what you talked about multiple products that are not new. They did need to talk about AirPods Pro 2 because of the software. But I really feel like it would have been better, more transparent, if they had talked about AirPods Pro 2, not like it was a brand new product, because that's really how they presented it. They should have talked about it as, and here's AirPods Pro 2, already the best AirPods you can possibly buy, and people have been loving them since they came out in whatever year. And here are the great new things we're bringing to the AirPods you already have.
Yes.
I think that would have been a much better way to talk about AirPods Pro 2.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, folks. We're just, I don't know, somewhere between kvetching and nitpicking here. I mean, this was a good event.
I think it was a really good event, and I think it was very clear that Apple was speaking to the average user, the average customer. They weren't talking to us this time.
Average customer isn't watching this event. Fanboys in the press are watching this event.
But the message that the general public will get. We're both cynics about this in different ways.
That's fair. So anyway, though, the Apple Watch 10 is a really solid update, I think. And it's interesting that they're changing out the stainless steel model for titanium, from the standpoint that the solidness of the stainless steel model is something that I liked, because I had an aluminum one year and then went right back to stainless steel because I like the way the stainless steel one fits on my felt on my wrist in terms of weight. And so I did find it kind of interesting that they're switching from steel to titanium on the watch. But they did it.
It's so still giddy up. Going to be heftier than the aluminum. But okay, Brian, now I'm wondering, because I hadn't thought about this for now. Are they switching to titanium because it fits better with their the real message of the whole thing. Green, carbon neutral, green by 2030.
Yeah.
That was the actual message of the whole thing. And then they interspersed other products between the actual announcement.
That's fair.
So, I mean, how many times did they show the 2030 with a green circle through that?
Four or five.
It was a drinking game. Yeah. I'm thinking if it was a drinking game, my kidneys would be ruined. My liver would be ruined.
That's fair. So to answer your question, it seems to me that titanium is much more expensive and more expensive to work with. So they didn't do it to cut costs.
Oh, no, definitely not to cut costs.
So that means
titanium is not cheaper than steel.
No, it's not cheaper. And again, it's also much more expensive to work with. So either they changed the titanium for the finish that they can do with titanium, or it's for the Apple 2030 goals, as you said. And I don't know which is the case, but I like the fact that it's bigger. I like the fact that these are all a little bit bigger.
I don't. I wear the smaller Apple Watch size, mm-hmm, because the standard size, it's just too big, and the devices, they just keep getting bigger. And I of course I'm going to go and look at the new Apple Watch 10 when it's available in stores and compare it to my 8. But at the same time,
bigger. So it's bigger from the standpoint of the display. I don't know one way or another, actually, whether or not it's physically bigger. I suspect it's not physically bigger, and it's definitely thinner.
It's definitely thinner. I assume that the body was going to be slightly larger. Mm. I mean, if they didn't increase the width of it, not the thickness, but you know, the actual body dimensions other than thickness. Okay, great. But stuff's getting too big.
Yeah, no such thing. So, but that's okay. You can be wrong.
Brian, it's okay. I have already learned a long time ago to accept when you're wrong and just smile and let you roll with it.
Yeah, I know. We all know. So anyway,
it's a thing.
That's watch and the new Ultra 2. But I was actually, by the way, I was happy that they didn't release the Ultra 3 because I didn't want to be tempted to upgrade because I don't need to upgrade. But now I don't even have to worry about it.
All right. I have a question for you.
Yeah. What's wrong with me? I don't know. It's a really good question.
Yeah, but you know, we don't have enough time.
No.
And I mean, once we get into that, then it inevitably leads into, and what's wrong with Jeff? And
I don't think we ever get there though. If we start with me. Anyway, go ahead. What's your question?
All right. So if Apple Watch Ultra didn't exist, if Apple Watch Ultra came out this year, same year as the Apple Watch 10, which would you choose?
Well, okay. So I love how large the Ultra 2 is, especially compared to the other ones. So keeping that in mind, I think I'd stay with the Ultra model, but the 10 is
even though you
compelling.
Can get a bigger screen on a 10.
I don't think it's bigger than the Ultra 2.
Yes, it is. They even had a whole graphic about that during the keynote.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. That's a good question. I do like this form factor though. It appeals to me. But the 10 is definitely compelling. It would be a decision, not just an automatic rejection of one for the other.
Sure. And the whole thing about, I just like the Ultra better. Like it looks cooler. It's more me, whatever. That's a totally valid thing. And if it turns out when someone's debating between the watches, they're like, I never do outdoor stuff. I never go hiking or anything, but damn, I love that Ultra. And that's what you get. That's fine.
I don't do any outdoor stuff. I hardly leave the house anymore.
Yeah. Well,
I don't need the Ultra 2. I just like the Ultra 2 and
that's okay.
I love it for the, infograph, display that comes with Ultra 2. That's definitely a part of it. I really, really like that watch face, and I like all the information that I get with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay. And I think Apple really made it clear this year that they're leaning into Apple Watch Ultra as a fashion statement, because they talked about new bands for the Ultra, and they weren't talking about the band you're going to put on when you're going into the backcountry.
These weren't the Nike Sports. You know, they weren't talking about water whisking. They were talking about like the dress. They were talking dressy kinds of bands for the Ultra.
Yeah. Team. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that's okay too.
That is interesting. All right, we need to actually move along.
Oh, sure. Okay, as long as we're here.
Yep. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about LinkedIn jobs.
Oh.
Yeah, right? That's cool. So
yeah.
LinkedIn jobs, they're sponsoring us. We appreciate their sponsoring us. And the thing with LinkedIn jobs is that in a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. You can hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that will help you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. The thing that I like, the thing that I always talk about every time we talk about LinkedIn jobs, is the dashboard. The dashboard puts everything for your hiring process at your fingertips. You got your candidates, you got your screening questions, you've got everything. And it's the dashboard that makes LinkedIn jobs really awesome. So you can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And again, we appreciate their sponsoring our show.
Yeah. Thank you, LinkedIn Jobs.
All right. Let's move on to, iPhone 16 and 16 Pro.
Sounds good to me. Are you pre-ordering on Friday?
No, I'm not. I need to not buy a new iPhone this year.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I may end up later this fall. I'm not ordering one now, but that's about money as opposed to desire. These are cool devices, and I mean the 16 alone is cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
The camera stuff is cool. I am kind of surprised that Apple introduced that camera button. Actually, full stop. I'm kind of surprised that Apple introduced the camera button, but we'll get to that. I'm kind of also surprised that that Apple introduced the camera button on both the regular model and the Pro model. Now, I think that's a statement about the fact that they know that they needed that.
Mm-hmm.
That they know that, I mean, because, you know, we had, up until now, we've been laboring under Steve's mandate that, you know, no buttons. Like, right? Steve didn't want any buttons on the iPhone.
Yeah. I mean, he liked having the mute toggle switch because it made it easy to mute a phone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was all about let's not have buttons.
And I feel like that's why Apple has not heretofore added any kind of other buttons it's been forever. As a matter of fact, I think Apple pulled buttons, didn't they?
They replaced a button. So they replaced that rocker toggle for the mute with the action button.
Right, with the action button. I feel like there was something. Anyway,
They have alternated between having visibly two buttons for volume versus having two buttons, but it's like a rocker on top of them.
Right.
So it looks like one button, but that's the only other.
And anyway, regardless, this button is cool. And it's the fact that it is touch sensitive is amazing. Right. Mm-hmm. It is touch. Is it touch sensitive or is it? I couldn't.
It's touch sensitive.
I couldn't grok how they were doing that. And they essentially.
I can explain to you if you'd like.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So that button, but Apple's not calling it a button. It's multiple layers. So you have the bottom layer, which has the sensors to detect pressure. And then it gives you the haptic feedback, so it feels like you're pushing an actual button, even though it's not moving, you know, like a Magic Trackpad does. Oh. And then on top of that, there's a layer that is capacitive. So that layer, that's what's registering when you are moving your finger back and forth, like it's a slider. But anyhow, they packed a lot of really interesting technology into teeny tiny little sliver.
Yeah, and they didn't make that much of a deal. They made a big deal about the functionality and not how they did it, because that's kind of how Apple rolls. In any event, I think this is a great addition to iPhone. Although I'm going to invite you to talk about it from a lefty standpoint, because when I was watching it, I was just thinking, yeah, this is awesome. This is perfect. And then you mentioned to me privately.
Yeah. And I'm watching it. I'm thinking, wow, why didn't they put that button in the center on the side, so it's equally reachable with your left or right index finger? But it's pushed off to the right, so it's a right-handed button.
It is a right-handed button. So the question is whether or not you can use it upside with the iPhone tilted the other way with your left hand.
Well, you can, and then you'd put your thumb on it. The question, though, is does the interface that pops up when you're using that button, does it rotate so it's right-side reading?
Right. And we don't know
regardless of orientation.
Right. We don't know that yet. But it's a cool button. It's a cool feature. I would say long overdue, especially having seen it. It's you know, long overdue, but I'm glad it's here now. And all of the computational photography stuff they shut off is all freaking impressive. They the A18 is freaking impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Bigger batteries.
Yep.
in the 16 and the regular 16 and then the pro models.
Yep.
Yep.
Are you going to get one? You have like an iPhone 8 or 7 or something, right?
No, I still have a 5. I'm kidding.
You really have a 12, right?
I have a 12 Pro.
Pro, right.
And honestly, each year I've looked at the new phones and I've thought, those are cool, but I'm just not feeling it yet. Like, they just didn't grab me in a way where I felt like I really needed to drop, by the time you're done, $1,200 on a new phone.
Yeah.
And this year, though, I'm looking at the 16 and the 16 Pro, and I'm thinking, you know, with the advances in the cameras, plus the fact that these are the phones that you need if you're going to use Apple AI, like completely.
Apple Intelligence.
Maybe thank you, Apple Intelligence. But that's clever because as an acronym, it's AI.
That's really
just kind of how it comes out.
Are there any other instances of that clever, that particular clever acronym that you can think of?
Off the top of my head, I'll play straight man for you. No, I don't know of anything.
Oh, well, so funny enough, my book also, my novel, Accidental Intelligence, also plays on that same concept.
Wait, you wrote a book?
Yeah, I did, a novel, yeah.
You wrote a novel? Oh, my gosh.
It's out there.
That's so exciting.
Thank you.
And it's available? Where can people buy it? Because I need to learn about this novel.
You can buy it on Apple Books, Kobo, Nook, and Amazon, too. It's Accidental Intelligence, AI. Anyway, back to...
How'd I do a straight man for that? Did that come across well? Thank you.
I'll send you your $10 later.
Thank you.
Yeah. So are you wanting to get one? You were sort of explaining.
Oh yeah. I think that this is the iPhone that makes sense for me to finally replace my 12 Pro. But like you, money, where's that going to come from?
Right. Right.
So we'll see. But before I make a decision on what I want to get, I need to see them in the store. So pre-ordering for me, it's just right out because I need to decide what's actually the right iPhone to get this year. No, because that line between the regular and the Pro, I mean, that's blurred more now than it has been.
I agree.
And I mean, really, at least today, as I think about this, the thing that sets the 12, or excuse me, the 16 Pro apart from the standard 16, it's the camera features.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure.
But I mean, previously I would look at the models and be like, well, yeah, I mean, there's cameras, but then here's this thing and this other thing. And,
the processor on the 16 Pro, it's the, what they're calling it, the A18 Pro, I believe. Right.
Right.
That processor is a humdinger of a processor.
Yes. But it matters only if you're going to really use the features.
True.
That take advantage of that. So that would be like, are you shooting more than just casual video on it? Do you need to be able to do multi-track voice memo stuff?
Well,
now, yeah. I can see I actually, for you. Yeah,
I would like that. I have recorded many sort of demo songs on voice memos, many, like, I don't know, 50 or 60.
Yeah. And And you're not alone. A lot of musicians do that.
Yeah. The ability to multitrack. I mean, like, so again, I've done it where I'll be humming or maybe playing along with the guitar, but I'll say, okay. And then, you know, the drums would be like, you know, and then, okay, the bass is like, and, you know, and I'll describe each line as I'm hearing it. I would love to be able to multitrack that. While I'm playing with the song construction, that would be terrific.
Well, you'll be able to do that when you're ready to drop the cash for 16 Pro.
Yeah.
Another thing that I'm thinking about with this is, by the way,
that was actual footage of actual songwriting for me. I'm kidding.
Oh. No, terrible. He's not kidding.
That was terrible.
Yeah, but you have to get the thoughts down, and then you
get polish it all up. Get back to it.
Anyhow, how long am I going to keep whatever phone I get? And the idea, I suppose, is the higher end I go, the more life potentially I get out of the phone before I feel like it either is lagging too much or it doesn't support new updates. And because I don't feel the need like I did when we both worked at Mac Observer to have the new things each year, because it's not critical that.
Yeah. We're not writing about it. We're talking about it on the show, but let's be honest. We're phoning this in.
Yeah. They found it. This out. Yeah. Anyhow, so I need to see both get them in my hand, decide what's really going to work best for me, and then I'll decide what I'm going to get and when I'll get it.
I do think that the ability to do 120 frames per second in 4K, that's pretty cool.
It is, but how many people really need that?
No one
unless you're doing like pro or semi-pro stuff.
No one needs it.
But you're right. It's super cool.
It's super cool, yeah.
And being able to attach an external drive and record video straight to that.
Yep, that's cool.
Holy crap.
The ability to flip back and forth between the filters, like the filters that Apple's doing, I feel like they're a lot more than normal photo filters.
They said it was like doing professional color grading in real time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to describe it, because it's not just filters that you're applying. You're applying a lot of color settings but it's non-destructive, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's like a filter, even though you're not actually doing filters.
Yeah. Yeah, the camera on the Pro in particular is super impressive. It's just super impressive.
I agree.
All right. Do you care about the finishes? I don't ever care about the finishes on my iPhone, because I've always got it on in a nice case.
I wish that we could get some more vibrant colors in the Pro line.
Really?
Yeah.
But why?
It's because for you.
Oh, right.
But I'm sorry. I just realized what I said and where the problem with my logic is. Yes. I apologize. Yes.
But yeah. So there are more colors, though. It's usually silver and black, or, you know, space gray. And
it's like pick your shade of gray.
Right. And now there's a white, which actually I think the white looks really cool and nice. And then the, you know, this goldy color that they're calling desert. So there are more colors. There are four colors in the Pro line.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Which is nice.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But still, I mean, yeah, give me some color. It's what, I,
do you, okay, my, are you my using 12, a, are you using a clear case? Or do you not use a case? Use a clear case?
I use a clear case.
Okay, my problem with clear cases is that the case is ugly. I know that I can see my iPhone, but the cases are ugly. The clear cases don't look good. It's okay. I've got a plastic glom meshed onto my iPhone, and I don't want that. Why do you want that? What's wrong with you?
Oh, my God. Brian, this is one of the many reasons why I love you.
I apologize to all of the people who also like clear cases. I mean, that reaction you heard from me is an honest reaction, but then I also know that I'm crazy.
Brian, I like to think of you as high maintenance.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Anyhow, no, I like having a clear case, and I have been putting Spigen cases. Spigen, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Their clear cases are really thin, and they say that theirs don't discolor over time, and for most people that's true. But like, I put this case on this iPhone 12 Pro.
That the Ultra
when I got the phone. Yeah, and so whatever year that was, and it's still that same case, and it has discolored a little bit, but
that's impressive though. That's impressive because that phone is, you got that phone like in 1982.
Right. And I'm in Colorado, so there's a lot more UV exposure.
Yeah.
And so for a clear case to perform as well as this one has, as long as it has, even though it's discolored a little bit, I'm really impressed. And it's MagSafe.
So if I could have a clear case that you literally couldn't see, I would be all for that. It's not that I don't like my iPhone's form function, form factor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the cases. Okay, anyway, I'll be quiet.
I appreciate where you're taking this, and I really like how an iPhone feels in your hand when it doesn't have a case on it.
100%.
But at the same time, I don't want to break it.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to break mine. And I mean, I do realize that I'm essentially saying which iPhone case is the best and why is it a nice leather case? Because, that's sort of me in a nutshell.
I get it. And that is you. And I've had some nice leather cases over the years. The problem that I've had with them, and it's not really a problem, it's just a preference thing. They always made my iPhone feel a lot fatter than I liked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That's fair.
Yeah. And we've been at the point for a while where even the smaller iPhone screen feels too big.
Yeah.
Because I really want to be able to use the device completely one-handed. And we haven't been able to do that for years. What, like since the 7 or something?
I used mine one.
And even that was kind of a stretch because it was like a really tall thing.
You must have really small hands.
Little bitty hands. I pick up a little marble and I'm like, oh, look at this basketball. It's so big.
Let's talk about where AirPods.
That came from.
We got AirPods 4. We've got the newly introduced AirPods Pro 2 and the newly introduced AirPods Max now with USB-C.
Yeah, but also new colors.
And new colors, yeah. So let's dispense with the AirPods Max. The AirPods Max are in that I don't think it's a big deal that Apple hasn't introduced a new model for AirPods Max. So I don't think it would be different if Apple wasn't introducing a new iPhone or a new Apple Watch Ultra. But oops. I see what I did there. But anyway, I don't think it's a big deal that Apple's not introducing a new AirPods Max. I am happy that they finally brought USB-C. I feel like everything should. I want all my devices to use the same charging technology.
Yep.
So
and USB-C is welcome. A step closer.
AirPods 2 also.
AirPods Pro 2.
AirPods Pro 2. Thank you. I don't really care that Apple hasn't introduced a new model for that. AirPods 4, those are they're glorious. They're really nice.
I think Apple will sell a lot of AirPods 4.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of the price point. I think that having the the full spatial audio thing going on, I forgot what they call it when you can use head movements to perform tasks like answer the phone and stuff like that. Adding that in is really great. If you want to pay extra for, because there's AirPods Pro 4, but then there's also AirPods Pro 4 that have the active noise cancellation, but they're just called AirPods Pro 4. Okay. Anyhow, there's so much that they put into these, and the higher end, or the one that has the active noise cancellation.
Yep.
I'd love to see how that works, because they don't actually seal in yours.
But yeah, I was thinking the same
anyhow,
thing.
That's what, $179 for that?
Yep.
And then $129 for the regular?
Yep.
AirPods Pro 4?
Look at me. Excuse me, AirPods 4. The new things. Huh.
Go you.
Yeah. Seems weird. Anyway, what about it?
I think they're good price points.
Yeah,
and fine price point. And they have a lot of really good features, and I think that they're really compelling. So, for a lot of people, AirPods Pro 2 isn't isn't an obvious choice for them anymore. I think this will get a lot more people into AirPods that have been holding off.
Yeah, who's that? I mean, these are between AirPods and AirPods Pro. These are I can't actually back this up with numbers, but I'm pretty sure that these are the most popular earphones on the market.
They probably are. I actually know several Android phone users use AirPods mm-hmm. with their Android sure. phones.
Of course.
They don't care that they don't get all of the Apple features. They're just like, yeah, these are the best. So I do like that AirPods Pro 2, even though it's presented as if it's a new product. I like that they're doing all this stuff where it's like, hey, look at all these new features you're getting as a software update, and you just get them.
Yeah.
So your AirPods Pro 2 become more useful, more functional, more valuable simply because Apple's rolling out a software update.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. That's good. We should probably also maybe briefly mention Apple Intelligence. I do feel like they gave us a slightly better look at Apple Intelligence, which won't be available until sometime later in the fall.
Yeah, I felt like it was a rehash of everything they'd already shown us with Apple Intelligence. But I'm glad they did the rehash, because there's a lot that's going on there and people need to know about it.
Well, there's one thing that was definitely a little more than a rehash, and that was there was something they mentioned about GPT integration that, first of all, pissed me off, and second of all, seemed like it was a little bit deeper than the, by the way, you'll be able to query ChatGPT-2, which is our ChatGPT also, which is how it was presented during the Apple Intelligence during the WWDC.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. It felt to me like an almost superficial reference to ChatGPT in this keynote, or in this
keynote
ad.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, infomercial, whatever. I guess they were kind of obligated in some way to mention ChatGPT.
Yeah, I guess. Tech pros are pissing me off. I feel like Apple is the least awful company in the AI space, in the generative AI space. The least awful. Not awful.
Yeah, it's I'm with you. I totally get what you're saying.
Could just be because they don't tell us much. So that's possible too.
I mean, yeah, but for me the big thing is that they're actively trying to protect our privacy.
Yeah, for sure.
With AI usage, and I do appreciate that.
I also feel like they are trying to focus on having generative AI do the menial things as opposed to the creative things. They feel like that.
Yeah, to a degree, but you can have when all the features finally roll out, you'll be able to use Apple Intelligence to create graphics. It'll be more like making emojis and little graphics you add into your photos, but you'll be able to do all of that.
Yeah.
And so that's to me more on the creative side as opposed to
yeah, but it's not making movies or doing images or writing novels or doing the things that have required ripping off all of the people that the people who have done those things to make it possible for this AI to do it.
Yeah, there's that. Yep. That's fair. And that's one of the things. Okay. I'm with you then. Yeah.
I'm completely okay with, for instance, having Apple Intelligence be able to make a solid graph with various bits of data. That would be a fantastic thing for Apple to bring us. In numbers.
I'm betting that's a thing that's going to happen.
I am sure it's a thing that's going to happen. I am less keen on Logic being able to write me songs. Apple does already have instrumentation that can play with you, which that was always a form of machine learning, right? That was always generative AI. Having instruments, especially the drums, that are playing along with your music. But that's different than writing music. At least I think it is.
Hopefully it is. Yeah. Another place where that's useful, and this is something that we've seen already in Adobe Audition, and I'm not sure if it's in Logic. But being able to say, all right, so I have a video that's this long and I need to have this song fit it exactly, but your song's too long. Mm-hmm. And then
I'm okay with that. If I've made the song, I'm okay with AI being able to edit it down. That's amazing.
And it works super well and super cool. And yeah, it's great. So yes, totally valid and legit use for AI.
Yeah. Generative AI. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's not really generative when you're taking, say, like a piece of music and saying, all right.
Yeah, it is.
Edit this out. No, because it's looking at everything in your music and figuring out how it can take stuff out and still have it move smoothly.
It's still generative AI. It is.
Okay. It's not making up something. It's...
I mean, so just like the drum feature in Logic has always been a generative AI, but when Apple introduced it, we weren't using that term.
Yep, I'm with you on the drums.
Okay, thank you. I accept your apology, and we can move on.
All right, is it generative AI when you take a person out of a photo?
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
All right, so you're looking at doing that in audio and image stuff as the same thing, and that's okay. I'm just clarifying there.
So, yeah, okay. It's I do believe that they are all part of the same family of AI things. But furthermore, I've also, I kind of hate the fact that things can be taken out of photos so easily from the standpoint of, then no one has to know how to take a photo. And that's great, I guess. But it does seem to cheapen photo-taking abilities. And maybe that's elitist of me.
I think it's a little elitist of you. Because if you can't frame a good photo,
I have a photograph of Stonehenge that has almost no people in it. And I love that photograph because I was able to take it. I was able to see my moment and take my photograph of Stonehenge without a bunch of people in it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I will care less about that. I will care less about that photo if everybody and their brother could just take out all the people and all their photos. That's petty and selfish of me, but yeah, so be it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm okay being able to take out the people like that. And now, of course, I would try and have as few people in the shot as absolutely possible if I was photographing Stonehenge. But then, you know, that tourist couple that's like, just damn it, why wouldn't you get out of the way? I have no problem AIing them out of the image.
All right. Fair enough. I guess I don't either. So whatever.
We all have our neuroses.
Yes.
We all have our technology hills.
Yes.
That we're willing to die on, and yes, it's all good.
All right. We're at 1 hour and 8 minutes. And I also happen to know that you have another recording coming up.
I do. Yes. Yeah. Because apparently it's Apple announcement week. So I just hop from show to show.
Right.
As one does.
Right. So I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to say that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on that or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And where are you? Yeah, I know you have a couple of social media accounts.
I do. I'm Jay Gamut everywhere. But I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. How about you?
I am GeekTales everywhere, And I am active on, I consume on Instagram. I don't post much, but I do post on Threads. So
nice. Yeah.
But yeah, you can follow me everywhere. You just won't actually see me do anything. Anywhere else. But anyway, and also LinkedIn, right? They sponsored us.
They did. Thank you, LinkedIn Jobs.
Yeah, we appreciate you very much. And thanks. Here we go.